prayer to you, Jesus. Send me. Make me wholly thine. There's another verse that I like. It says, oh, I guide me, Jehovah.
Offering time. I said it's giving time this morning. Give God some praise. It's harvest time. How many of you know that you cannot reap a harvest unless you sow a seed? And if you want to reap a good harvest, you got to sow a good seed. It's giving time this morning. Amen. There may be a few that were not able to attend the harvest week this week. We would like you to pay your harvest offering today. Let's get that done today. Let's sow that seed so we can reap a good harvest. Let's sow that good seed. Obedience is far better than sacrifice. The word of God said, bring your offering and your tithes into the storehouse so there may be meat in my house. And test me and see that I don't pour out a blessing that you have no room to receive. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for another opportunity to come into your house of grace. Lord God, prepare our hearts and minds to sow that good seed. Lord God, to be obedient to your word and to your calling. Lord God, help us to give freely and cheerfully, Lord God. Lord God, help us to give with expectation in our hearts, Lord God. Lord God, cause your word is truth and it doesn't go out void, come back void. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to give. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, yeah. How many of y'all are good to be here? I'm glad to be here today. Well, I am. I'm glad to be here today because I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But the Lord spared me to be here one more day. Well, Lord, I know you've been so good. Oh, Lord, I know
you've been so
good.
Well, you watched
over me
all night
long.
Lord,
I know you've been so good.
I'm gonna say that again. Oh, Lord, I know you've been so good. Oh yeah.
Lord, I know you've been so good.
Well, you watched
over me
all night
long.
Lord, I know you spared my life. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I know you spared my life.
Well, I could have been sleeping. Lord, one more time. Well, Lord, I know you spared my life. Yeah. Well, I could have been.
Lord, I know you spared. Sometimes I tell them, Jesus,
well,
I've been wrong in my life.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes I've even sinned.
Uh-huh.
Lord, I thank you for waking me this morning.
Oh yeah.
Let me kneel down and pray again.
Well,
I could have been dead.
Yeah.
In my grave.
Oh Lord,
you made the death go away this morning. Made it behave. You've been good.
Been good. You've been good,
Jesus.
Lord. You've been good. You've been good, Lord. You've been good. You've been good.
I know you've been. Sometime I tell the Lord, Jesus, you've been my mother.
Yes, you have.
Lord, you've been my father too.
Well,
out of all the troubles and trials I've had in my life,
oh,
without you, Lord, I don't know what I would do.
Well,
that's why I got my hands in the winding chain.
Oh,
every day of my life I'm trusting in your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's been good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
You've been good.
You've been good.
You've been good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ain't he been good?
You've been good.
Jesus.
You've been good.
Ain't he been good?
You've been good.
Been good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ain't he been good?
You've been good.
Been mighty good to me. Watched over me.
You've been good.
All night long.
You've been good to me.
Early this morning.
You've been good.
Good God Almighty.
You've been good.
Early this morning.
You've been good.
Early.
You've been good.
He woke us up.
You've been good.
Hadn't he been
good? You've been good.
He woke us up.
You've been good.
Ain't he been good?
You've been good to
I
me.
Know you've been
so good to me. Well, Lord, I know you've been so good.
Oh, Lord, I know you've so
good. You watched over me.
All night long,
Lord.
All night and so.
Well, Lord, I know you've been so good.
Oh, Lord, I know.
You watched over me all night. Lord, I know you've been so
good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All things come of thee, O Lord.
Thank you. for all your mercies to us. We thank you for bringing here this morning so that we could worship you and honor you. We thank you, Father, for this another opportunity to bless you with our gifts, a portion of that which you have given us. We give back to you. So we pray, Father, that this will be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we continue to work in this vineyard, spreading the gospel and seeing men and women saved for your kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Lord is good. Glad to see each one of you here today and happy to be in the service of the Lord. Thankful to all of the ministries that work so hard to make church church here at the Mount Olivet Church. Thank you for all that you do. We have a Boy Scout in our church, and we have a team of people who work with our Boy Scouts to help our boys to become men. And the Boy Scouts are selling popcorn for a fundraiser. And if you see them out there or see people representing the Boy Scouts, then help our boys, help our leaders who are working with the Boy Scouts to continue to help them do the things that causes them to become men. I'm happy to see the Phillips family here today. Yeah. I mentioned last Sunday that a young lady had very, very severe surgery, life-threatening surgery. As we prayed for her on last Sunday, I want you all to know that person and her entire family, Miss Sylvia Butler. I want to say Sylvia Butler. Sylvia Butler is here. Her husband is here. The whole family is here today. Yeah. Yeah. That helps you keep coming to church and stay connected to the church family. I don't care how well it is for you in your life today, there will come a day when you need a church family to join you in prayer for something. Amen. Somebody say, for something. You're going to need somebody to join you in prayer for something. And I'd much rather have a church family to be with me than to have to run this race by myself. Give God a great big hand clap of praise. I didn't get a chance, or I had the chance. I just didn't do it. I wanted to say thank you to the committee who decorated our church and gave us the night in white. And I know visitors who are here, and maybe some of the members too, who didn't know that we had the night in white on Friday night of Harvest Week. You're wondering who's getting married today. Amen. This was Friday night's Harvest Week, Night in White. Most of the people were adorned in white, and it was a heavenly event on Friday night. Amen. And because it's such a job, it's a job to put it down, it's a job to get it up. And I think Brenda invited many of you to come out at 9 o'clock in the morning to help secure all of these garments so we can put them up for the next time. So thank you so much. Thank you very much for your support during Harvest Week. And we just appreciate God for allowing us to touch the community like he does. And I'm praying that we touch the church like we touch the community. I want to see the church as excited about what the church is doing as the community is excited about what the church is doing. I went to the Cheesecake Factory last night with three other people and literally had to ask to be moved over to like a little private section, because every person that came in, every black person seemed like they came in and passed by, they had been through Harvest Week. And every time you got ready to put a shrimp in your mouth, they were reaching to shake my hand to say how the Harvest Week had blessed their hearts. Amen. And I said, can y'all move us to that table over there? Very appreciative, but I did want to keep shaking hands and eat my shrimp at the same. Give me three or four people, and then the chair of our trustee board and the chair of our trust and then the chair of our deacon board will come and give 2 minutes on your appreciation for Harvest Week. Right quick. Give me three people, and then my chairman of the trustee board and chairman of the deacon board. All right, give me two more. No more than two more. All right. Give me one more. Just one more. All right.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, Pastor and everybody, it was beautiful. And what I took from it is I heard 5 speakers bake a cake. They started Monday with the ingredients. Tuesday, they said the time span it would take. And by Friday, he put the icing on the cake. And I would like us all who were here to take what we got from it and to digest it, do like a cow does the cud, regurgitate it, take it in again, and use it so that it can move you forward in your lives. It was beautiful. Pastor, like I always tell you, you do church well. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Good afternoon, church. Praise the Lord. I didn't attend every day of Harvest Week. I sought out to, but sometimes things get in the way. But the times that I did come, I came 3 times. And I tell you, it was the most awesome experience that I've experienced in my 32 years. And all I can say is, wow. Wow. Wow.
Have church say amen. You know, last week on Sunday, I was so excited that we were getting to go into Harvest Week. I just can't wait for Holy Week now. It's just that, like those bookends that we have in our lives. I was so inspired by Pastor Jamal Bryant's speech on meekness. You know, and it kind of like all of them were talking to me. Ricky Jr., Pastor Wells, you know, I mean, if you missed it. If you wasn't here, you missed some that was really, really meant for us to hear. Well, at least for me to hear, you know, and for me to hear all 5 days, to be here for all 5 days, and to have my pastor sit down and let other people preach, it was great. It was awesome. I can't speak of it enough. From the time we started preparing for it, you know, we don't give enough kudos to our culinary. We don't give enough kudos to our hostesses. We don't give enough kudos to our ushers, to our choir. You know, it's just a big team effort made this happen. You know, made this really, really come together. And like Pastor said, you know, there's I'm over at U of R, and there's so many people walk by me and say they had a great time. You know, and they'll pop their head in here for 1 or 2 nights because they're students, and they say they couldn't attend all nights. But I'll tell you one thing. I just can't wait to Holy Week now, because I know it's going to be a much more exciting spot. Thank you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Harvest Week, as always, was awesome and inspiring. And every evening there were inspiring messages that you were able to take home with you and apply it to your life. The messages were lively at times, and I think everybody had an enjoyable time. I know that it's very, very well received by the community. Of course, Wade and I own a business where we get a large church population from Rochester, and it just blessed people. It blessed the community, and I know that God is pleased. God is pleased when you're able to open up the doors and bless his people. God is pleased. And this church and the committee that put it together, I mean, we are second to none when it comes to putting on an event. You walk in, the greeters are in place, culinary is ready. You see, we had trustees that were playing security this time, too, as well. Shout out to my trustees. Everybody's in place. We operate like a well-oiled machine, and it just blesses my heart. And I know God is pleased, and God will give us a double portion of blessings for our commitment and our faithfulness to this church and to this community. Thank you.
All right, Lyndon sort of said a bit of what I was going to say, but I text Pastor Monday evening after the first service. You know, we were in the lobby. Actually, Sister Davis was there as well. And we were just kind of taking note of how the Mount Olivet family, you know, just came together to serve. And if I'll say anything, if you're a Christian, that's what we do. We serve. Serve one another. One another doesn't mean just in here. Anywhere we go, we serve. And God gets the glory in the midst of it all. So it was just wonderful to see everybody in their perspective lanes and just doing what they had to do. And I think we've become experts now, Pastor. So okay. We may have to go out on tour to kind of give a demonstration how this is done. But lastly, you know, I've been sort of in a little bit of devotion, and what really gives me joy is the thing called unity. And that's kind of where I'm at with that. And and the smallest broken piece within the household of faith affects everybody. It doesn't have to be anything grand. So that's what kind of brought it to confirmation, just seeing it. So it just encourages me. And lastly, Brenda, I called my wife and I told her, I said, don't worry, I'm going to make up the bed. We got plenty of sheets here. But I didn't know which ones to take without it being noticeable, you know. Amen, y'all. Amen.
All right, this is the last one. Don't nobody else get to feeling good now.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I wasn't going to say nothing, but I just thank and praise God for this week here. You know, the beginning of the Holy Week, I just like to say that the devil's tried to take my life from me starting on last Saturday. But I guess the Lord said, no, I'm not ready for this guy yet. So, I don't know if you guys ever did any kind of exterminating, right? But I had trying to exterminate this place, right? So I ended up swallowing a whole lot of, you know, y'all know what that fogger stuff is, the kill bugs and stuff. You know, it was an accident. When I set it off, the alarms and everything went off, and I said, wow, let me go cut this off. And in the event of it, I ended up swallowing a whole bunch of, they call it poison. And you know, the paramedics say, well, look, you know, you're not supposed to be here. And I said, well, thank God Holy Week is coming up, because he's tried not to get me to come. But, you know, I thank and praise God for it. And all this week I've been blessed. And I just want to thank and praise God for you guys, because y'all been my friends and everything. So God bless you.
Then lastly, I give a shout out to Brother Rob Mitchell. And again, Sister Marilyn Wynn, who served as like the chairpersons for overall. I don't have to meet like I used to meet and talk to everybody. Brother Rob Mitchell, Brother Alan Kane, they just took care of it. Maryland, they took care of that, and I appreciate that so much. I appreciate all of our drivers who picked up the preachers from the hotels, from airports, and so forth, took them to the airport. I appreciate everything that you did, and I appreciate everything that you do. Give God some praise. Everybody stand like they did in the old church. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Let me go to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24 says, and I'll talk about more of this in the text, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then the woman, the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician woman, came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Say that with me, Lord, help me. You may be seated in the presence of God. Each night, somebody asks, when do you start working on your message? It's as soon as one is done, you begin working on the next message. Nobody has, you don't have a clue at what it's like to present a message to the same people every week and not say the same thing. And so, even during each service this week, you can never take your mind off of the fact that you've got to preach on Sunday morning. when a pastor does not have to preach on Sunday, that's like being on vacation Monday through Friday, because it releases your mind from having to work on a message all week. But in as much as I knew that I had to preach and I was seeking the Lord because I was in church every night, the Lord dropped it in my spirit. Oh, my subject, ushers, is Lord, help me. Thank you. Lord, help me. Got the best ushers in upstate New York, and I appreciate you. And so I was coming to church Monday night, and somehow or another, I found myself saying, Lord, help me. And then Bishop Wells got up to preach, and three times in his message, he said, Lord, help me. And on Tuesday night, Ricky Jr. said two or three times in his message, Lord, help me. On Wednesday night, when the new pastor of the Tucker Baptist Church of Syracuse, Pastor Decado Draper, was preaching, twice he said, as he talked about the woman with the issue of blood, twice he said, Lord, help me. Thursday night, Bishop Milton Hawkins must have said it four or five times in his message, even in the Old Testament, as he opened up that Ark of the Covenant for us like I've never heard it opened up before. But several times he said, Lord, help me. And once on last night, on Friday night, as Bishop Jamal Bryant was finishing his message, he said, Lord, help me. And I knew it was a confirmation of what I was supposed to say today. Somebody say, Lord, help me. One of the first songs, among the first songs that we learned to sing in the early days was, it's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You remember, not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord. Let me ask you something. Am I talking to somebody today who can say, it's me standing in the need of prayer? Well, if you have any relationship with this text that we're about to talk about today, it's really about a woman and a worship experience. It's about a woman who was in a bad way. Anybody here ever been in a bad way? Anybody here ever been in a bad fix? Paul calls it a betwixt and between. A bad way. Don't know whether to go up or go down, to go forward or to go backwards. Get money in your hand and don't know which bill to pay, so many bills to pay. You rather than paying a bill, you're so disgusted, you go out and buy a dress. You know, I can't pay a bill, I may as well do something. You go out and buy a dress. You go out and you go to a place that you ought not go because you're between a rock and a hard place. But that's what this text is about. It's about a woman who's between a rock and a hard place, a rock and a hard place. And in finding herself in that place, rather than throwing in the towel, rather than quitting, rather than saying it's too much, rather than saying I can't make it, she falls down and she worships. And so one of my greatest questions, one of life's greatest questions for all of us is, what is my main purpose in life? Why am I even on earth? Why am I here? Worship is important to God. And worship ought to be important to all of us today. Solomon, considered to be one of the wisest men of his time, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And in this book, this is one of the main themes he addresses, and that's worship. Come in, listen at this verse. It blessed me. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10. And let's sneak in to Solomon's writings and hear these words. He says, I denied myself nothing that my eyes desire. He says, I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. In other words, he says, everything that I saw, thought I wanted, he says, I got it. Whatever my eyes saw that I wanted and desired, I just got it. I had the money, I had the means, I had the wherewithal. Whatever I wanted, I got it. Whatever my heart took delight in, whatever I worked for and thought I was big and bad enough to get, he says, I got it. Then in verse 11, chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, he says, then I looked on all of the works that my hands had wrought. I looked on all of the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Come in, let me try to straighten some of this out. I see your faces. You're not with me yet. Here was a man that had it all. All of the things that people literally worked themselves to a frazzle over, he essentially says, now that I got it, I understand something on this side that I didn't know on that side. And what he says in this text is, it is not worth it. It's not worth it. After all, after it was all said and done, he's saying, when I got all of the stuff that I thought I wanted, all of the stuff that money could buy, he says, I was still left empty. I'm talking to some folk. You thought that new car was going to do it. You thought that new house was going to do it. You thought that promotion on your job was going to do it. You thought if you got a new wig, if you changed the color of your hair, if you got new dentures, you just thought that would do it. If you got some new shoes, if you got new clothes, you just thought if you moved from the city to the suburbs, or if you left the suburbs and came back to the city, you thought that would do it. When you got everything that your heart desired, you found out that all was vanity and that your heart was still left empty. Nothing. This text is tailored to teach us today that nothing apart from God fulfills our life. I'll never forget. I took my children to Universal Studios, drove from Arizona to Universal Studios, and we walked. They saw Mickey Mouse, they saw Mighty Mouse, they saw everything that they had. They went, we rode, and when we had rode and had ridden until I was almost crazy, head hurting and everything, my daughter said, is this it? $75 a head to get in. We walked until I couldn't hardly walk anymore. And now she wants to know, is this it? Mickey Mouse won't satisfy you. Universal Studios won't satisfy, because God put something in our heart. God reserved a place in our hearts. And only God can satisfy. Yeah, I know I'm talking to some people in here who say, if I just had a little more money. I know I'm talking to some people who say, all I really need is just a little more. I wouldn't have a worry in the world if I just had a little more money. Well, if Michael Jackson was here, he would tell you, money won't fix it. Bill Cosby would tell you, that ain't it. If Elvis Presley was here, he would tell you, that ain't it. If Tupac Shakur was here, he would tell you, that ain't it. Donald Trump would tell you. Wrong. Hillary Clinton will tell you, nothing apart from God fulfills. People today get caught up in working themselves sick. Hospitals are filled with those who are wearing themselves out. Let me tell you something. The hospitals are full because folk are there with high blood, low blood, sugar, headaches, all kinds of aches because they're working themselves to death trying to get stuff that they don't need to impress people that they don't like. And we got some pews, some rows empty today because some folk just didn't feel like coming to church. You know why? They wore out. They wore out working two and three jobs to get stuff just to find out, as Solomon says, it's just not worth it. And Solomon closes the book of Ecclesiastes with these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Solomon says, you've heard everything. You've had everything. You've bought everything. You've been everywhere. You got everything you wanted. You did everything you wanted to do. You've had it all. Now he says, here's the conclusion of the matter. You know, folk who say, I've been there, done that. Solomon says, once you get there, he says, now that he's been there, done that, he says, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of mankind. New car is not the duty. New house is not the duty. Promotion is not the duty. New clothes is not the duty. He says, if you really want to be happy in life, learn how to worship God. It's interesting to note that he uses the word, when he says fear God, he uses this word Yahweh, which means to fear God, to revere God, to be literally afraid, to stand in awe, to reverence, to honor, to respect God. He says, if you really want happiness, if you really want joy, you see, happiness is not what God made us for anyway. God did not make us to keep us happy. God made us to give us joy so that we could give him worship. Warren Wiersbe says in his book, The Integrity Crisis, he says, true biblical worship so satisfies. Somebody say, it so satisfies our total personality that we don't have to shop around for man-made substitutes. That true worship satisfies so much until you don't have to have a substitute to satisfy you. I see people smoking cigarettes, knowing even on the pack of cigarettes, it says cigarettes cause cancer. You know what cigarettes really are? It's a substitute for satisfaction. I'm not bashing the cigarette smoking. I'm just telling you what it is. It's a substitute for satisfaction. I see people drinking. Somebody say, where you at seeing folks drinking? I see folk drinking. You know what drinking really is? It's a substitute for satisfaction. That's one of the most amazing things in the world. A man or a woman gets off, spend most of their money on a Friday in some restaurant where it what they call that happy hour. And you know what happy hour means? It means you get two for one, two for the price of one, two shots for the price of one shot. And so you just stay there and you just drink until you can't drive home. And then when you finally get home, get to sleep, wake up in the morning, don't know how you got home, talking about I had a ball. There There's no substitute for Jesus. There's no substitute for the Lord. There's no substitute for worship. Jesus told the woman at the well, he says, God is still seeking worshipers. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, a time is coming and has come now when true worshipers will worship the Father, will worship God in spirit and in truth. But they are the kind of worshipers that the Lord seeks. The Greek word used here for seek is zeta, which means to seek for, which means to desire, which means to command. In other words, God is looking for true worshipers. God is looking for, he demands true worshipers. He's seeking true worshipers. Psalms 96 verse 6 says, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Just worship God. I don't care what you've been through. You have not been through so much that you can't worship God. I mean, really, the truth is, the more you go through, the more you worship God, and the more you worship God, the more God takes you through. You ask somebody how you doing, and they tell you, I'm going through. Your response is not, oh, I'm sorry. Your response is, praise the Lord. How do you know? Because going through is better than being stuck. I mean, the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the, you going to go through. Going through is not what you're running from. You don't want to be stuck in the valley. You come here. You don't want to be stuck in sorrow. You don't want to be stuck in sadness. You don't want to be stuck in the hospital. You don't want to be stuck in the doctor's office. You don't want to be stuck in unemployment. You don't want to be stuck in trouble. You want to go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because God is with me. And so, if we fail to worship God, not only in the local congregation, the church has to worship God. When we gather together, we got to worship him together. Somebody said, well, you know, I do my own thing. But when we come together as a congregation, we got to worship him together, but also privately. You see, if the only time you worship God is when you do come together, then there's a question on your relationship with God, because then it becomes an outside show to an unfriendly world. We worship God because he is God. Somebody say, why we worship God? Because he is God. Somebody say, he is God. He is God. He's my rock. He's my sword. He's my shield. He's my God. Not because the cattle upon a thousand hills are his and I get a chance to eat a steak. That's not why we worship God. If you're eating pinto beans out of the can, you still worship God. And some of y'all, God been so good to, you done forgot about the commodities. You done forgot about that cheese that brought us through. Didn't keep us stuck. It brought us through. You forgot about pet milk and powdered potatoes and Spam and polished meat. It didn't get us stuck. It brought us through. And in order to give God the, and so why have I said, Lord, help me? Because I don't want to worship like the church worships. I want to worship like God wants me to worship. And in order to give God the kind of worship that God will receive, here's some things that we must have. One, we must have a right relationship with God. You can't worship God when you don't love the person that's sitting beside you. You can't worship God when you don't love the person that's sitting in front of you. You can't worship God because you gotta love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your spirit. And then you got to love your neighbor like you love yourself. I guess this is how mama used to say it. You gotta love everybody. You gotta love everybody. You cannot afford to have enemies because your soul is at stake. Your worship is in jeopardy when you don't love everybody. I know a man who keeps his yard impeccable. I mean, there is not a weed to be found. And if a weed sneaks up on the sidewalk or the curb, he'll even get down and pick that. He'll pick a weed or he don't mess with his yard. Dog came by and did what lady walking her dog and had her bag and it looked about like this when she finished. But the dog stopped on the lady's yard, and I was there, really at a yard sale. And I was there, and the man just went slap off. I said, Deke. She got the poop up. Yeah, but I don't want no dog. It's just grass. Come here. Can I say crazy? Do y'all know how crazy we can get over nothing? Don't run your blood pressure up over your grass. People, 600,000 people are out of electricity down yonder, and you got a headache because a dog pooped on your grass. And so we're going to have a right relationship. If we're going to worship God, you got to have a right relationship with him. And the only, see, here's the hard part. You thought that was easy because I hear you saying, you with me now, and I hear you say, oh, I love God. Oh, that ain't a problem because I love God. But how can you say you love God when you don't love your neighbor? Nobody walked the dog down the street and say, when you get to this yard, do your thing, buddy. Dog is just being a dog. Don't lose your soul because a dog is being a dog. So there's got to be a right relationship with him. But then there must be respectful reverence. You got to reverence God. Come here. Let me ask y'all something. Do y'all remember when people used to reverence God? They used to reverence the church. There were just some things people wouldn't do on Sundays. Like ironing clothes. If your clothes were wrinkled on Sunday, you better find something that's not wrinkled because it's Sunday. It's, who am I talking to know what I'm talking about? There's just some things that you couldn't do. People were not superstitious. They just reverenced God. They reverenced God's day. Dinner had to be cooked. Couldn't come in the house cooking on Sunday. The dinner was cooked on Saturday night because today is the Lord's day. There's got to be respectful worship. And somehow, y'all, we got to help bring this church. It really doesn't matter who the president is if the church doesn't get right. If the church does not get right, it does not matter who the president is. What really matters is who's the Christian. What really matters is who's walking with God. What really matters is who's talking with God. What really matters is who's on the Lord's side. There's got to be a right relationship with God. There's got to be respectful reverence. And then there's got to be a relevant response. I'll get you right here. I might have missed you on that right relationship. I might have missed you on that respectful reverence, but I'll get you here. There's got to be a relevant response. Because I'm glad I got 5 degrees so folk can't say, well, you know, when you're educated. I got 5, so don't talk. Let's take education off the table. Can I get a witness here? I got 5. So let's take education off the table. But you know, folks like to say, well, you know, I went to school. And when you learn better, you do better. Well, when you learn to not worship God, you went to the wrong school. Come here. I got you hemmed up in here now. When you learn not to lift your hands and tell God, thank you, you went to the wrong school. Because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when God's been good to you, that means open your mouth and say so. When the Lord wakes you up in the morning, that means open your mouth and tell God, thank you, sir. When the Lord puts food on your table, that means open your mouth and tell God, thank you, sir. When God put clothes on your back, that means open your mouth and tell God, thank you, sir. And some of us can't do it. Some of us can't do it. I tell it every chance I get that I eat breakfast every Friday. Every Friday I eat breakfast with Jews. And when I first started eating breakfast, I'm just accustomed. Listen, when you grew up with a tin cup, a plastic cup, a glass plate on the table, a china plate that maybe come from a yard sale because we sure didn't have it. You know, a short spoon, a medium-sized spoon, a big fork. When you grew up like that, and then you get to a place where you can sit down and all the plates match. Y'all come on in here now. When you sit down now and all of the plates match. When you open up the drawer and all of the forks match and all of the spoons match. Sometimes they say, you're thanking God for the food. I said, no, I'm thanking God for the plate that the food is on. Can I get a witness here? I'll get to the food in a minute. I just want to thank God for the plate right now. I just want to thank God for the fork right now. I just want to thank God that all 4 prongs on the fork are going the same way. I'm in here by myself now. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, we had to use the fork for everything. Didn't have the right tools outside. So if I wanted to plant something, I'd run in the house and get a fork. Dig my hole and put my seed in the ground and take the fork back, watch it. And now you got a fork with prongs going every kind of way. And so when I sit down now and all the prongs are on the fork, I tell God, thank you, sir. And so I'm talking to some folk now when he says there must be a right response, a relevant response. Maybe you had forks. Maybe you had clothes, but it's something you got now that you didn't always have. And a relevant response is to tell God, thank you. And so somebody asked me this morning, why am I asking God to help me? Because every now and then, I forget to tell God, thank you. And I don't ever want to be an ingrate. I don't ever want to forget how far he brought me. Because when I look back, I said, when I look back, am I talking to somebody this morning? Can just look back over my life. See how far. I said, see how far the Lord has brought me. He brought me and he brought you. He brought us through school. He brought us, some of us, through sickness. He brought us through dangers, seen and unseen. He brought us through surgery. He brought us through doctors. He brought us through storms. He brought us through hurricanes. He brought us through tornadoes. Can I get a witness here? And so when I look back at where he brought me, the Bible says, let the redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I got one question that I want to ask you this morning, and I'm going to leave you alone. Has he been good to you? The Bible says, say so. Did he wake you up this morning? The Bible says, say so. Did he put running in your feet, clapping in your hand? The Bible says, say so. And I'm talking to some folk who say, I just can't worship God. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I just can't do that. I can't get loud in church. I come from an intelligent family. I can't get loud in church. I can't wave my hand. I can't do a holy dance. I sure can't run like you run. But when I left the hospital last night, I saw some folk who wish they could wave their hands. I saw some folk who wish they could open their mouths. I saw some folk that didn't have legs, that didn't have legs, but if they had legs, they would run for the Lord. Has he been good to you? Lift those hands all over the building and say, Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to worship you. Lord, help me to never be ungrateful for what you've done for me. He pulled me through. Did he pull you through? Did he bring you out? Did he pick you up? Did he turn you around? Ain't God good? Ain't he good? Shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand. And tell your neighbor. And tell your neighbor. He been good to me. Tell your neighbor, he been good to me. He been good to me. Thank you, Lord. I don't care what you're going through. Just tell God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Who am I talking to? Need the Lord. You don't have to say a whole lot of words. Help me, Lord. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Been in the storm. Help me, Lord. Been in the rain. Help me, Lord. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Lift those hands and say, just help me, Lord. Just help me, Lord. Just help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. If the Lord don't help me, if the Lord don't help me, if the Lord don't help me, I can't make it. If the Lord don't help you, you can't make it. So I don't care what you're up against. I don't care what you're up against. I'm sorry for imposing on you one more time. But grab that person's hand. Get a hand. And look at somebody and tell them these words. You're holding the hand of somebody that God brought through. Look them in the face and tell them, He brought me through. Look them in the face and tell them, He brought me through. Look them in the face and tell them, He brought me through. Who am I talking to? Can say, He brought me through. Didn't He bring you through? 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 That's all I gotta tell you. He brought me through. He brought me through. I done got happy now. He brought me through. And what He done for me, will to do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for you. He brought me out. Come on, worship the Lord. 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 Worship the Lord. Come on, worship the Lord. He brought me out. Thank you, Jesus. He brought me out. I'm gone now. Listen, I don't want to overdo it. I don't know how you worship God. I don't know how you praise God. I praise God my way. And I worship God my way. And I want you to know it's all right for you to worship God your way. But for the next 30 seconds, however you worship Him, everybody on your feet. And for the next 30 seconds, however you worship Him, worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Tell Him, Lord, help me. You've been good to me. Who am I talking to today? Can tell the Lord, You've been good to me. You've been good to me. Everybody, let's do this one together. Let's do this together, y'all. Lord, help me to hold out. Oh, Lord,
everybody,
help me to hold out.
Come on, Ricky Jr.
Oh, Lord, help me to hold out, yeah, until my change has come.
Put those hands together. Come on, everybody.
Lord, help me to hold out.
I need an alto up here and a soprano.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Who am I talking to that needs the Lord?
Lord, help me to hold out. Has come.
Do the verse.
My way may not be easy.
The doors of the church are open.
You did not say that it would be. When it gets dark, can't see my way. Sure finna put my trust in you. That's why I'm telling you, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me to hold out. Oh, oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Help me to hold out.
I don't care who you are.
Oh, Lord.
Open.
Help me to hold out.
Oh,
until my time has come.
Let me say it one time.
Yeah. My way may not be easy.
That's you too.
He did not say that it would be. When it get dark, can't find my way. Told me to put my trust in you. Hey, Lord.
We done.
Help me.
Help me to hold out.
Thank you, Lord.
The doors of the church are.
Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord. Help me to hold out. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Help me to hold on till my chain.
Lord, help me to hold on.
Come on, Lord, help me to hold on. Lord, help me to hold on. Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out. Until my change has come.
Amen.